Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And the title of our podcast today is The Happy Face Killer, Serial Killer Keith Hunter Jesperson. Jesperson killed a bunch of people thus the title Serial Killer.
Yes.
Back in the 80s and 90s. We're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds. But before we do, I would like to remind everyone that we are a true crime comedy podcast, and we use adult language, so if that's not your thing, please check out one of the other many wonderful podcasts out there, like Insight. They don't use foul language, and they do a very good job.
They use foul language when the PM and me, Timmy.
Well, you, but not on the show. Allie and Charlie do a wonderful job, and if you prefer a serious true crime podcast, we would recommend them.
With a real accent.
Yes. Wouldn't you say we recommend them, Brandy?
I would, yes. Yes.
Okay. I would recommend them.
Okay. So let me introduce our panel. I'm very pleased to introduce the very lovely and talented. Who, by the way, I really like your sweater today.
Thank you.
It's got an Amish look to it.
No, it looks very nice.
No, she looks like she's
being demure.
It softens your
already in brand
edges.
Time.
It's softening your hard
edges. I know.
Edges.
I'm not even introduced yet.
I'm complimenting you, girl.
You know what? Somebody here, lady next door, told me. She said your face looks really good today. What the fuck does that mean?
Your face always looks good.
As opposed to yesterday, when you got beat with meth sores, I don't
know what the hell happened. Go ahead, Timmy. I'm sorry.
Okay, the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Penis Lovin', or Pill Popping and Penis Lovin', Brandy. Hi, Brandy.
Hi, Timmy.
How are you today?
I'm great. I've had two cups of coffee today.
Oh. You turned down my offer for strawberry shortcake.
I did.
I was disappointed.
I'm sorry.
Looking forward to having strawberry shortcake with you.
You had it with your staff, so it's okay.
I know, but I wanted to have it with you too, because I'm going to be leaving tomorrow.
You're not gone forever.
I will see you again.
He might be gone forever. Down to Columbia.
I won't be there on your birthday, so I was.
Neither you're going to be here on your birthdays, are you?
I'll be here.
Oh, you'll be here. We'll have a big party.
What the hell else am I going to do?
We'll raise the roof on this bitch.
Well, do some blow.
Yeah.
You're on the planning committee for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Sweet.
Let me also introduce the...
Brady, time's up.
It was short but meaningful.
Clearly.
I'd like to introduce the most dangerous man in podcasting, the moral compass of our podcast, the man who has been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
Nope.
He has a new title, Brandy.
Listener Relations.
Listener Relations. He is the listener... liaison, and he's going to make all of our listeners happy, which is something one listener at a time. The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm
wonderful, Timmy. Let me tell you what happened last night.
Oh, good.
Good, because, you know, we never hear enough of your stories.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you now.
Okay. No, I want to know. I'm on the edge of my seat.
He's almost falling out.
I was walking Rudy, mm-hmm. my dog, the wonder dog, and this woman just about 3 weeks ago lost her dog, had to put it down. He was 16 years old. And Rudy's not one to, you know, take to people much. But, you know, he walked right over to this lady and just sat down on her feet.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The dog's just empathetic like that. He's got a sixth sense.
So he gets that from your wife, not you.
My wife's better, I'm glad to say.
Oh, good. She's no longer has the pneumonia.
Nope. I thought she had a consumption over the weekend. She's not coughing. She's not calling me names.
Well, no, we're glad she's feeling better.
Don't lie. Yeah. She is calling you names.
She's still calling me names. Right. But okay, fine.
But she's not coughing when she does
it. She's not coughing when she does it. Yeah, because I couldn't even tell what she was. She'd get all excited and start to yell at me and start hacking. Mm-hmm. And
you just thought she was trying to express her love for you.
Yeah. And I was like, and you know why? If you're going to be laying in bed doing nothing, you know.
With pneumonia.
With pneumonia, yeah.
Kernel time has already been twice.
Why can't
time.
You know, if I, because she said, I can't sleep. And I said, you know what I do when I can't sleep? You know, we normally
have
some romantical relationships.
Take a pill.
And she was like, are you kidding me? I'm coughing. And I was like, you know, actually kind of the coughing feels good. You know, because you get that, you know, everything.
Take a pill. That'll put you to sleep.
But that's finally what I did. I gave her some pudding and I ground up two Advil PMs in them.
In her pudding?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah, she went to sleep. Left me alone.
Yeah. Colonel, how do you feel about your new role as listener liaison?
Well, I think it was a wise choice to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to pleasing people,
yes.
You know, the customer has the colonel has vast experience in pleasing customers.
I see.
And most of our listeners are female.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the colonel has extensive knowledge of how to please a female.
You have your way with women. A way with women.
I do have a certain way with women. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, you have a way. Yes. Yes, yeah. You do. You
have a ways to go.
Yeah. You've got a way. It's really not the right way, but not the right have way. A way.
Yeah, it's a way, though.
They did not seem to be very happy with you talking about the PMS, Colonel.
Yeah, women are funny. And women that was complaining about that to me, there was women who was in the throes of the PMS.
I see.
See, that's how you know.
So you've got everybody's cycle in your Google Calendar.
Pretty much. I can tell. I mean, I can tell, yeah.
Are you sure?
You want to know when Jim Wicks, give me Jim Wicks, Amber, Callie Jones, people like that.
Karen
Barnes, yeah. They're going to, I can tell you. I mean, they're gonna be a little snippy, a little snarky.
He has an innate ability to do that. Mm-hmm.
He has an innate ability to,
yeah,
to stick his foot.
And Timmy, I would like to introduce today. Now, you know, we don't like to be like the other ones. We turn down, you know, ads from the companies all the time.
Right.
In the other podcasts, they run ads. Yeah. But we don't do that.
No, because like Chevrolet. And,
that's right. I was just mm-hmm. thinking Ford, Starbucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I did make an exception this week. This show today will be sponsored by Doggy Style.
What is Doggy Style, Carl?
Doggy Style is the finest dog grooming place in South Carolina.
Nice.
So if your doggy needs a shave and you want it done right, do it Doggy Style.
Thank you, Colonel. Yeah. I'm sure it's a fine store.
Yeah, I mean everybody could do those. You know the mattress commercials, whether it's Casper and the Harry's razors. And
yeah.
I get like 30 seconds for my time, and he gets a half hour.
I got sponsors, damn it.
You have nothing.
He doesn't have sponsors.
You got nothing.
And I'm pleasing the ladies.
Let me thank our Patreon sponsors, those who support us on Patreon. We're very pleased and very happy that you take time and your hard-earned money to support us, and we'd like to thank you. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. You can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee tiny bit to me.
Absolutely. And and if you can't, you don't have money, you can't give, that's okay. Just keep listening.
And go to iTunes and give us a good review.
That would be nice. But at the very least, just keep listening because that's what we really care about. So let me thank all of our sponsors on Patreon. Of course, as always, Alicia and Chip, they've been with us for a very long time, as has Cindy Lou, Daniel Bassett, Jen Moyer, Tommy Lane in Hawaii, Jason Dykes, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, our good friend Maggie Glover, Sarah Bloom, of course, Amber Krupp, who's also a mod on our Facebook page. Thank you very much, Amber. Joe Hopkins with the Now American History Podcast, Rebecca O, Karen Alden, Cheryl.
That's Rebecca Omelet.
Okay. Cheryl Pierce, our good buddy TJ Young, Catherine Cockgarage Richardson. I crack up every time I read it. Fiona Crisp. We got a couple of new sponsors, guys. Very generous donation from Karen Garrett. So, Karen, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you.
And also Mike Brown with the Pleasing Terrors
Downtown
podcast.
Downtown Mike Brown.
Yes. And that's a great podcast, Pleasing Terrors. If you like podcasts, please check it out. It's available on iTunes, Pleasing Terrors. Thank you very much. Mike, and also our good friend Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Donna Curran, Maja over in Poland, Aaron with an A, Kimberly Cameron, Elise, Diane Student with the History Goosebump podcast, Amber Trevino, our good friend Annette Petray, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, of course, Dr. Jeff and his lovely wife, Dawn, Andrew Happ, our good friend from Cleveland, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, and her sister, Mary Ruth. Did I get it right that time?
You did.
Great.
Got it right this time.
Thank you, ladies. Jennifer Rasnick, Tyrone, of course, our longtime listener, Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Mandy Swanson, Heather Poole, of course, Allie and Charlie from the Insight Podcast, Bridget Bernard, thank you, Bridget, Rosanna and her husband Benjamin from They Walk Among Us, thank you, guys, Stacy, Chris Hauer and her cat, Jeffrey, the Wonder Cat, Cheryl Weldon, and of course, Rudy, the Wonder Dog. Thank you all very much. We appreciate it. And did I get Sarah Morgan? If I didn't, I apologize, Sarah Morgan. Thank you all very much. We really appreciate it. And before we go any further, let us give a special happy birthday wish to our good friend and longtime listener, Lady Beverly, Colonel. I think you sung Happy Birthday.
I sung yesterday.
You don't have to sing again, but today is her birthday, so happy birthday, Beverly.
Happy
we love you.
Birthday. She was one of our original listeners, and she's just too good for us, Timmy.
Yeah, she
I
is.
Mean, you ever get that feeling that maybe?
I think she knows.
Yes.
I think she knows. I think this is her version of slumming.
Of perhaps, maybe she's, you know, she's doing like charity work and things. And
well, I think she's like Princess Di, kind of hanging out with the commoners.
She is an amazing woman, and we really appreciate you listening. She's listened, I know, for almost 2 years, right?
Yeah, she's been with us for a long, long time.
And we love you, Beverly, and we hope you're having a wonderful birthday. All right, let's talk about serial killer Keith Hunter Jesperson, or better known as the Happy Face Killer. Keith Hunter Jesperson.
Oh, my gosh, you can call him Keith?
I'm going to call him Keith all the way through. Is a Canadian-born American serial killer. See what this guy. See, we need to build a wall, Colonel.
We do need to build a wall. Fucking Canadians coming in here, and that's my problem with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he's so focused
on the southern border.
What about the western border, Timmy?
Yeah.
What about the western border?
Well, you got Shirley Strapp. I think she's up there in Canada. She might
the
be
western border.
Yeah, you got Samoa, Pacific Hawaii.
Ocean.
I mean,
oh yeah. Well, you need a big wall to keep them out.
Yeah,
I think we
sure.
have the Pacific Ocean out there, Colonel.
Although Hawaii is actually, I don't know.
All
you
need
this,
is
a
state.
Boat. Hmm? It's included. We can take
why
Hawaiians.
Are they a state? Why are they even
I think
a state?
We won them in a poker game or something.
Yeah, it was. It was a poker game. We drew an inside straight. Hawaii is beautiful, by the
first
way.
First of all,
home of Tommy
beautiful.
Lane, by the way.
Yes.
But now think about this. And
we won something in a poker game. Wasn't it Alaska or
no,
one of them?
I think we got Manhattan for some beads. We got some Manhattan for some craft jewelry.
Or the Louisiana Purchase or some shit. Yeah. I don't know.
I think the Louisiana Purchase, Thomas Jefferson got drunk and
headed
there.
He didn't like the Civil War.
But think about this. All the big wars, Timmy, they start over in Europe. Right?
Well, there's been two of them, yeah.
The two biggest?
All the big wars.
Yeah.
The big wars. We need to keep an eye on those people. Why don't we have a big wall on the east? No. It's like
we've
people
got the
talk
Atlantic
about
Ocean.
Homeland Security. And you're talking about building a wall to protect.
He's talking.
It's like if you had a box and saying, I'm only going to protect one side of the box. Now, you got these Canadians.
We have two oceans. We have a Pacific
Ocean.
Okay,
fine. Let's just say, and theoretically, those protect us somehow, which I don't believe they do.
Theoretically.
But then you got Canada, okay? Bunch of plaid shirt wearing, moose hunting people walking around. I mean, you got those people. Christy Lee. She's from Canada. I'll tell you what.
True Canadian or
she's
Canadian.
She's an Australian living in Canada.
And her podcast is.
She's the worst of both worlds.
Well, it's probably less dangerous.
True crime
in Canada.
Canadian true crime.
Yeah.
She's just
dangerous.
Out with a rifle hunting moose and wanders into Montana or some stuff.
Like, it's like how having Allie right next door to you.
It is. You need to build a wall, a big wall.
Yeah.
A big, big wall. That's all I'm saying. All
right. Well. Keith, as we're going to call him, as Brandy insists that I call him.
He's a bad...
I don't know that we need to go through his entire name every
time. He's a bad hombre.
You always...
He's a bad hombre.
You always like...
Very bigly.
Very bigly.
You always like when I use all three names.
I don't know where you got that.
Anyway, he became known as the Happy Face Killer because he would write letters to the media about his crimes, and he would always include a little smiley face at the end of his letter.
That's not. It's like, have a nice day.
Yeah, exactly. He was first arrested in 1995 for the murder of his girlfriend, Julie Ann Winningham, who was 41, of Washington. Washington.
I'm sorry, what's the name of the place?
Camas. C-A-M-A-S.
Camas.
Have you been there?
I've been there.
You been to Camas, Washington?
I've been there.
He's been everywhere, man.
Uh-huh.
In addition to his conviction for killing Winningham, he was convicted for murdering four women in Oregon, California, and Wyoming.
The end.
Now, this is a synopsis.
You know what a synopsis is. That's an overview.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you about...
He did give away the ending, though. That kind of is fucked up.
Let me tell you about
The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone. You sucked the thrill right out of the story.
You can't do B.B. King, man. You can do Bee Gees, okay. You want to do Johnny Cash, you suck at it, but okay. But don't, please, not the King. Not the King, please.
Wow.
Anyway.
Wow.
Keith Hunter Jesperson Brandy.
Thank you.
He was born on April 6th, 1955, about the same time the Colonel was born.
I was born in 1963. Well, it was close enough.
To Leslie, his dad's name was known as Les.
Oh, that's good.
I always think a name tells you a lot about a person. So if your name is Les, it tells you something.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't packing a lot down.
I know.
Wow.
My middle name's Moore.
Really? His mother's name was Gladys.
Glad.
And they were from British Columbia, Canada. He was the middle child. He had two brothers and two sisters. His father was a domineering alcoholic, Brandy.
Sweet.
And Keith would claim that his parental grandfather was also violent.
Grandfather?
Parental.
His paternal grandfather?
Whatever.
Well, a parental grandfather is a totally different thing.
All right. I don't even know if that's
his
a thing.
His granddaddy.
His parents and his grandfather.
I'm trying.
So, Les, his father, has denied being an abusive parent. However, published report.
Fake news.
Published reports seem to confirm that Keith's father was a heavy drinker and abusive. His dad dominated the family. He looked down on women, and he put his kids down with sarcasm and wisecracks.
I don't know why that would be a problem.
I thought that's just called good parenting.
That is exactly what that's called.
Keith's earliest memory was of a rock rolling down the slide in a play park. It hit his brother Brad on the head, drawing blood and making him cry. Keith seemed to find pleasure in hurting his brother.
We all did.
Yeah, who didn't? Man. My brother used to abuse that.
I think there'll be some things coming up that distinguishes you from Keith. But
my brother shot me twice.
Well, but that's justifiable. I'm not really.
I mean,
judging.
He shot me two times.
I'm not judging your brother for that at all.
So the family moved from.
You got hit with a rock.
They would move back and forth between Canada and the United States. They moved to Salaya, Washington. And Keith had trouble fitting in and making friends because he was kind of
had a stupid name.
Well, he was kind of heavy. So other kids would tease him. His brothers didn't help much. And they nicknamed him Igor, a name that stuck with him throughout his school years.
Did he have a hump?
I don't know. But because of this, he was a shy child, content to play by himself most of the time.
It's because people around him were dicks.
When yeah, he but he becomes a dick himself. He would often get in trouble for behaving badly, sometimes violently, and would be severely punished by his father. This included beatings, sometimes with a belt in front of his peers, like his friends. His dad would take his belt and whip the shit out of him.
Yeah, he's hitting him with a board.
And at least on one occasion, his father gave him electric shock.
Wasn't depressed after that.
At a very early age, at the age of 5, Brandy.
Yes.
Keith started capturing and torturing animals.
A little some bitch had it coming. I beat him with a belt too. He need to be hit with a belt.
He's got this whole
put the electrodes to his little tiny 5-year-old gonads, killing poor little mice and shit.
He's got he's on this McDonald triad thing. He's got the animal abuse down. He enjoyed watching animals kill each other, as well as he enjoyed the feeling he got when he killed them. This continued as he got older.
Now, in fairness, who doesn't like a good otter battle?
Like bum fights?
Oh, I love otters.
I like to see two otters go at each other because they ain't got no arms or nothing. They can just butt heads.
So I'm going to tell you about his...
Otters have little arms.
They got tiny little arms, but they can't wrestle and get each other in a headlock or nothing.
Well, neither can Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That would be a good battle.
It would be a good battle.
Little fair warning here. I'm going to talk about what he did to these animals, and so
I'm not a fan of this. Yeah, line of questioning.
Yeah, it's not good. He started to kill and torture animals, including bashing in gophers' heads, nailing crows to a board, and throwing knives at them.
What is nailing?
Nailing, like a nail, like a nail.
Nailing.
Yes, whatever. He did the same with cats and dogs.
I didn't know. You remember that movie Nell? So I didn't know if he just yelled at him like that, or I don't know. Okay.
He did it with cats and dogs, too. He put them on a board and stuck them with needles.
That's some fucked up stuff there, though.
His favorite thing seemed to be tying cats to get tails together and then throwing them over a wire and
That's
watch.
The second time we've heard one of these. Yeah. How the hell are you going to get two must be cats a and tie their tails
It must
together?
Be a thing. I don't know. But they claw each other to death, according to...
Well, it seems like they claw you to death trying to tear the damn... Put the tails together.
Anyway, his dad witnessed him do this with the cats, and he finished the cats off by strangling them to death in front of his dad. And his dad bragged about his son.
Oh, his dad was proud.
Yes.
Oh, to others.
He would capture birds and stray cats and dogs around the trailer park.
Yep, and there it is.
There we go.
Where he lived with his family, severely beating them, strangling them to death. And as I said, his dad seemed to be proud of him for doing this. In the years that followed, Keith would often think about what he did, and he would develop the desire to do the same thing with people.
Have you ever noticed now we tell all these stories about people killing, you know, numbers of people and whatnot, burying them, chopping them up, eating them, sometimes fucking them when they're dead. But you nail a crow to a board and stick it with pins, that's crossing a goddamn line.
Yeah, well, any of it's crossing
it's a line. It's inappropriate behavior. I mean, serial killing's one thing, but animal torture, that's just, there's all no right. reason for that.
So Keith is a little prick. At 9, he called a lady a bitch.
Oh, well.
And her 16-year-old son jumped out of his car, slugged him, and kicked him twice with pointy-toed cowboy boots.
Okay. There you go. That'll teach a little bastard a lesson.
Well, apparently his dad got wind of this, found out that Keith got beat up, and he beat Keith up for getting beat up. Yes. As a young boy, Keith was good friends with another little boy named Martin, who was always blaming Keith for things that he did. And
Martin was a little fucker.
Well, Martin was Eddie Haskell of the
Well, Keith apparently gets pissed off at this on several occasions. And one time he had enough and he beat Martin unconscious. And he would likely have killed him had not Martin's father intervened.
Seems he like was an still, appropriate response.
He was still beating him on the ground after he hit him with a cement brick.
Jesus Christ.
It was two times when he did this, not with Martin, one time with Martin, but two times he attempted murder before he was out of school. Keith did not do well in school. In elementary school, his teacher told his parents that Keith was stupid and probably wouldn't amount to much.
Yeah.
This was like in the third grade.
My mama heard the same thing.
They can nail it.
His father agreed with this assessment.
You know, what are you going to do? They're the professionals.
The boy's a dumbass. What are you going to do?
They are the professionals.
When Keith was 11, he and some schoolmates were first forced to strip off their clothes by a neighbor dairy man. I guess it's like a milkman.
Yeah.
And
that wasn't his name.
No.
He was a dairyman.
And he also, the dairyman also stripped off his own clothes.
Well, yeah, you don't want him to feel weird about it.
The neighbor asked the kids to touch his genitals, Colonel.
That's not appropriate.
But this is kind of cool. Keith ran home and got a BB gun and came back and shot the man in his genitals.
Yes.
Oh, now that's not cricket there.
Keith would get in trouble a few weeks later when he shot an overweight neighbor. Well,
what I want to know is how long was some bitch standing there naked?
Well, I guess he was messing with these kids, so Keith ran next door, got his BB gun, came back, and shot the guy in the dick, yeah. I guess.
If you're going to get a bunch of kids, I mean, I would just think that if you're going to get a bunch of kids together, strip them all down naked in public and
I think they were at his house.
Oh, okay.
And he promised them ice cream or something.
Shot him in the dick.
Yeah, with a BB gun. So anyway, he got a lot of praise for doing this from like his father and stuff. So Keith got in trouble a few weeks later when he shot an overweight neighbor in the rear end with his BB gun when she was bending over to pick,
and there it is.
To pick up some raspberries. When asked by police why he shot her, Keith replied that he was just using, this is a quote, just using her fat ass for for target practice, unquote.
Good guy. Good guy, that Keith.
Shooting a child molester in the dick was kind of cool.
That's fine, but, you know, that fat old lady wasn't bothering you.
Well, she's picking up raspberries.
She's picking raspberries. She ain't bothering you.
When he was 12, a neighborhood boy held Keith's head underwater while they were swimming in a lake until Keith almost blacked out. He realized what was going on, and he knew he had to stand up to the bully. So he
shot him in the dick.
No, he hit him in the head with a brick.
Yeah.
And then he put his head under the water. An adult saw it, a lifeguard saw it, pulled Keith away. This kid was bleeding really bad. And the lifeguard saw the blood coming up from the water, and that's how he intervened. So this is the second time, you know, by the time he's 12, that Keith has, you know, attempted to murder someone. As a young teen, Keith's father had a greenhouse, and he had this rigged up, and he wanted to
grow pot.
No, he had the system rigged up, and he wanted to see if it worked, if the electricity worked. So he shocked Keith. Now his father claimed it was only 12 volts, but Keith would later claim it was 220 volts.
It's just wait a minute. First of all, there's
sometimes 12 volts can seem like a 220, depending on where they're shocking you at.
And I don't understand, like, why are you doing that?
His dad is
he wants to see
whack,
if it works. Because sometimes the circuit
now,
breakers
this is, this
are
is
far
Keith's,
away from the house in the you know, fuse box.
This is Keith's, you know,
stick your finger
recollections.
Yeah.
Keith became obsessed with arson and set several fires. He set up his rig and as a teenager shot an arrow with an exploding tip into the home of one of his teachers, causing a small fire. So our Keith is now an arson, so he's bedwetting. No, he's not bedwetting, torturing animals and has this thing for fire. So he's got two-thirds of the McDonald triad going on. I didn't see anything about bedwetting, but yeah, we'll probably assume that he's pissing a bed too. At 13...
I think he'd have got his ass beat for that.
get this. This is great. At 13, Keith's parents started charging him $30 a week for rent.
Yes.
But his siblings did not have to pay rent, despite them having part-time jobs.
Because he was a dick, I think we established.
But Keith had to pay $30 a week. He earned the rent money by managing two paper routes and mowing lawns. And he would also resort to stealing to raise the money for rent money. When he was unable to raise $30 a week, he was forced to sleep in the backyard. Even in... That's awful.
Get back to your tent, motherfucker.
No, even in a...
Fuck this little bastard. He already killing crows and doing whatnot.
You know
fuck
what?
Him.
But, you know, his daddy... can't rule out the fact that his daddy probably made him somewhat that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he did. I mean, he should be out in the backyard with his daddy.
Well,
he made
him sleep
shit.
In the backyard. His dad wouldn't even let him sleep in the greenhouse. He had to sleep in the backyard, even in a wintertime. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, northwest United States, so it's probably pretty cold in the wintertime.
Probably.
On the occasions he did sleep in the yard, his parents would provide him a blanket only if he gave them $5.
Well, yeah, blankets don't come for free.
You don't find blankets on trees, motherfucker.
Right.
You want a blanket?
Blankets do not grow on trees.
This ain't jail, bitch. You want a blanket? You
it's
pay for it.
Gotta pay for it.
Like fucking Delta Airlines or something.
Is that motherfucker? This ain't the Westin.
He's less likely to get beat than than if he is on
Delta.
Oh,
United.
Or United.
Yeah.
United.
In school, all of his classmates teased him and called him crude nicknames.
Yeah.
He was teased for being overweight. Girls did not like Keith because he was overweight and quite unattractive. Keith claims to have had his first sexual experience in 1969 when he was 14 years old. He later described it was actually a rape. So he raped someone at 14, basically.
Gross.
Damn.
At 15, he started experimenting with pipe bombs and cannons.
As we all do.
Yeah. Well, we all go through that pipe
need a hobby.
Bomb phase. Yeah.
Noah wanted a cannon.
He did, didn't he?
He did, and I had to explain to him that you couldn't have a cannon in city limits.
Yeah.
That's
bullshit.
You can have one,
that's
you just
bullshit.
Can't fire it.
Well, you can't fire a cannon in city limits. So, I mean, because that is what stopped us from getting it.
Although, you know...
City ordinances.
The NRA probably is supportive of Noah's cause.
You know,
they can have my cannon when they pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
I need a cannon to defend my home.
Well,
okay. So in gym,
build your moat first.
So in gym class, you know this is going to go well. In gym class, Keith was always being teased. He's always being teased about not being able to reach the top of the rope. Remember, Colonel, we had to climb the top of the rope. In gym class, did you ever have to do that? It'd be like a rope would hang down from the ceiling.
Oh, no, I had to. Actually, I did not have to climb the rope, Timmy. I remember very clearly because I had broken one of my fingers the week before and was unable to grasp the rope. And I was very disappointed because I had practiced climbing this rope.
Well,
like
and you liked climbing
bit.
That rope. Let's not lie.
I did.
All right,
it got your tingly parts going.
Keith was he had to climb the rope to pass gym class. And kids would make fun of him because he couldn't make it to the top. When he finally made it to the top, the kids had greased the rope with some type of oil or something. And
I like these kids.
And he fell. He fell 25 feet to the hardwood floor and slammed his head hard on the side. He would experience frequent blackouts.
Like the lady on the slow-moving train that flung forward, and then she got.
I think our ropes won't. Like
this guy's. I mean, these kids are like. Remember the turtle episode?
I mean, but seriously, and
Lord
that
of the Flies at the school.
I know, but that makes you wonder: is he that way because
what came first?
Yeah. Or is he that way because these people are motherfuckers?
Or maybe a combination.
Or maybe a combination.
But anyway, after he fell down and fell 25 feet off this rope and hit his head into the hardwood floor, he started to experience blackouts again. He graduated high
top
school.
Of his class.
Well, he was actually 161 in a class of 174. So.
Did they drop pig's blood on him when he graduated?
I'm not sure who the other 13 were, but I'm sure they'll be coming up in a future episode.
They were the hoods that never showed up for school.
His IQ was 102. His father discouraged him from going to college because, quote, you can't do it. He suggested Keith get a job that doesn't require, quote, any brain power.
That's right.
Poor.
Did he become?
I would say poor Keith. I would say poor Keith, but the fucker is mean to animals. So
yeah,
I'm not feeling this kid.
I'm partial to crows. I like the crow.
I like cats. I don't like anybody fucking with cats. In 1975, when Keith was 20, he married a young woman named Rose Huck. And the couple had three children, two daughters and one son. And Keith got a job as a truck driver to support his family. Several years later, his wife, Colonel, became suspicious that Keith was having affairs.
Was he?
We don't know. In his peckle? What was she doing?
I don't know. He was on the road a lot, so he was probably banging hookers, lot lizards or whatever. While he was a truck driver on the road, she packed up her belongings and her children and drove 200 miles away to live with her parents in Spokane, Washington. The oldest child, Melissa, I guess she had some sort of relationship with Keith. He would spend time with them, but the couple ended up divorcing in 1990. At the age of 35, standing 6'7" and weighing approximately 280 pounds, Keith began working toward his goal of becoming a Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman.
Like Dudley Do-Right?
Yes.
The fuck kind of horse going to carry his big ass around?
But he had an injury. He got an injury, so it put an end to his dream of becoming a mounted policeman.
Yes, I'm sure that's what put an end to his dream. Not the, you know,
did he
psychopath.
Rape somebody and kill
Yeah, maybe he wanted to mount a policeman.
Yeah, he wanted to mount a horse.
He was confused.
Yeah, I want to be mounted.
Anyway, he sought work again as an interstate truck.
What you doing over there, Devil?
It's goddamn hot.
The Devil unbuttoning his shirt here.
I'm sorry, Brandy.
I feel like there should be some music going on here.
You have to take out some singles pretty soon.
Yeah, at least
make it rain.
If you could, that would be great.
I'm sorry, here the best I can do.
No, I can also do a cool trick where I take my bra off without my shirt. So
Colonel's making it hell.
Yeah, I'm making
Yeah.
Anyway, he sought work again as an interstate truck driver after his divorce, and he relocated to Cheney, Washington. He soon realized that this job afforded him the opportunity, Brandy, to kill people without being suspected. The advantage of truck driving.
Yeah.
It is. Well, that's why I send all the people through truck driving school.
Yes. So what happens next, Brandy?
Well, his first known victim was Tanya, spelled fucked up, T-A-U-N-J-A.
Yeah.
Tanya. Bennett, on January 23rd, 1990.
I know what happens, but I'm not going to say.
Thank you for that, Timmy.
Wait, he killed her.
He killed her.
But, I mean, there was more to it than that. Go ahead.
And it was near Portland, Oregon.
Hold on. If there's more to it, why don't you fill in the details?
Well, no,
here?
He probably didn't put it in here.
It's in there.
He introduced himself to Bennett at a bar and later invited her to the house that he was renting. The two were intimate. They did it.
They bumped ugly.
Yeah, they did. Made the beast with two backs.
They knocked him boots.
Yeah. Before he started an argument,
you don't know, they might have been making love.
Well,
I don't believe he made love with people.
They were doing it.
All right.
The two were intimate before he started an argument that ended with him brutally beating and then strangling her to death.
Well, I guess it wasn't love then, was it?
Not so much. Keith established an alibi by going back out for some drinks.
You know, I think a few of our listeners may have just gotten a little tingly there.
Well,
oh, we made love and I got
strangled. And everything.
Oh,
we do have some freaks on our
We do. We do.
Lovable freaks.
So anywho, so Keith established an alibi by going back out for some drinks after he was intimate with her, being sure to converse with others before returning to retrieve her body.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And belongings to dispose of them. He was back on the road the next day. The body was found a few days later, but there were no suspects and no leads. After the body of his first victim, Tanya, was found, Tanya with a J, was found, media attention surrounded Laverne Pavlinak, a woman who falsely confessed to having killed Bennett with the help of her abusive boyfriend, John Sosnowski. Excellent. Jesperson was upset that he was not getting any media attention, so Keith wrote a confession on the bathroom wall of a truck stop and signed it with a smiley face.
Yeah, so he...
That is where all good confessions can be found.
You know, if you think... He goes out to make his alibi, right? He goes out to bars, make sure he's seen...
And then is pissy when somebody steals his thunder.
Yeah, these people go to prison over this, and he gets pissed off.
Yeah, because they stole his thunder.
Yeah.
Much like Chuck steals mine.
In Brandy time.
I'm going to write that shit on a truck stop bathroom wall.
With a little smiley face.
Oh, absolutely.
Put a little frown. Yeah, more Brandy time, goddammit.
That's right. Let's see. When that did not create the attention he desired, he wrote letters to media outlets and police departments confessing to his murders, starting with a 6-page letter to the Oregonian in which he revealed the details of his killing. He signed each letter with a smiley face. This led Phil Stanford, the journalist working on the story for the Oregonian, to dub Keith Jesperson the Happy Face Killer. Nice.
That's a sweet name, though. You admit, Colonel, if you're going to be a serial killer, that's
you
a sweet
be
name.
You want to be the Happy Face Killer. Yeah. You don't want to be the sad guy.
Yeah.
You don't. Despite these letters, Laverne Pavlinak, read the news reports surrounding Tanya with a J, Bennett's death, and gave a false confession to police.
A woman confessed to strangling him.
Well, Laverne and her live-in boyfriend, the guy with the other jacked-up name, they were convicted of the murder of Jesperson's first victim in February of 1991. And goddamn, he was frustrated. He's still not getting proper credit for the murder.
That's some bullshit.
There ain't nothing worse than somebody jumping in, taking your cred for you.
I'm telling you.
I mean, it killed his street cred because all the truck drivers thought he was killing people and... All of a sudden, people confess.
Exactly. And Keith was not done killing and would soon strike again. Around 10 p.m. on Thursday, April 12th, 1990, in a shopping center parking lot in Mount Shasta, California.
Mount Shasta. Remember the Shasta Cola?
Shasta.
I want to pop. Let's see. Next to the I-5 corridor, Keith was approached by an intoxicated woman carrying an infant. Jesus Christ.
So some drunk lady's carrying his kid.
This so not picture that. Well. Yeah.
Both the woman and the child ended up in Keith's truck where a conversation started. She introduced herself as Jean and the child as her 6-month-old son. Why? Okay. Keith
you
told
know,
her,
if the kid would dance, she could be Jean and her dancing machine.
She could. Keith told her his full name and information about where he worked and where he was
headed. Like that, Colonel?
Sometimes I wonder where the hell your mind is, Timmy.
Me neither.
Sometimes you worry me, son.
I'm sorry, Brandy.
Jesus Christ. All right. This fucking jackass. All right. So Keith spills his guts, tells her his name, where he's going, what he's doing, social security number. I mean, whatever the hell.
Gives her his PIN for his credit card.
Right. The conversation soon turned sexual, and they drove to a remote location.
Well, first of all, yeah.
This lady stumbles up to him with her baby. I mean, how does that even go?
Ain't nothing
I don't
that
understand.
Says, I want to get banged, like being drunken baby carrying.
Hold the baby.
Yeah.
Staggering up to you.
During an act of oral sex, while the infant lay in the back seat, because having him in the front seat clearly is tacky. That's tacky.
That would be gauche.
Jean stopped and asked to be driven home. Keith forced her to finish the act and then attempted to break her neck. When she became angry.
Hold on.
Oh, girl. Which makes me wonder, does she have teeth? Because you can stop that real quick. Failing to break her neck and not wanting to kill the child. Oh, he's got morals now.
Yeah.
Keith returned the woman and her child to the shopping center. Let me just drop you off here.
You know, she's very lucky, and you know, I don't want to criticize a woman, but...
So he drops her off at Aunt Annie's.
Yeah.
Here's some life advice for you.
At the Great Clips.
Don't get into a truck and give somebody you don't know, a stranger, in that truck, half a blowjob.
It's right up from the Fashion Bug.
Okay.
Well, you know, there's also Fashion Bug Plus for the ladies with the larger size.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Thank goodness.
You're treading dangerous ground when you give half a blowjob and then you're like, okay, I'm going to be on my way now.
Well, I'm just not sure. Did she just have an attack of morality all of a sudden?
That's what I was...
Like, is she down there bobbing and weaving all of a sudden and going, what am I doing with my life? I've got a child who's laying there in the back seat.
I can't be doing this stuff.
Yeah, this is craziness. I just need to stop.
She had an epiphany.
Yeah. My God.
Just please, you know, I've got to get out of here.
Through the haze. A ray of light shone through the
haze.
And
I'm just going to say, you know, it's rude.
Well,
it's rude. I mean,
but here's the thing.
But
if you notice, and Timmy could have left this part out clearly, but if you notice, it wasn't that he was paying her. Like,
that's
this
true.
Is a voluntary BJ.
Yeah, but
if you're given, no, wait a minute. If you're given the voluntary BJ, you don't have to finish. If
don't
you're getting
look
paid.
Don't look at a voluntary BJ in the mouth.
No,
no, you don't do that.
There's a social compact we have in
if
this.
If you
country.
Get paid, you got to finish. That's part of the oral contract, if you will.
No. If the tip goes in,
no.
You must win.
You must begin. You must end.
You must end. If the tip goes in, you must end.
No.
So, yeah.
No, this is a voluntary act, at which time she can voluntarily opt out at any time.
No, I believe you got to give notice.
You do not. Well, she did. She told him she wanted to stop.
I believe you got to give like 5 minutes notice.
No, 5 minutes.
Five minutes notice, yes.
Who the hell gives a blowjob for 5 minutes? Jesus Christ, if you're giving it that long, you're not doing it right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, all right. But does he take her back to DSW? I mean, what's...
First of all, you're going to need to simmer down over there.
Yeah. Trying to catch
this
up
is
with
a very important conversation.
I'm trying to catch up with the story.
You know, I mean, it's a cultural thing that...
No. Cultural thing.
It is. This is how society...
I don't think
this
that means
is how
what you think it means.
Empires crumble. I'm telling you, it's the beginning of how empires crumble.
There we needs to be rules.
There does need to be rules. It's like if I come up behind the missus and I start kissing on the neck or whatever, she's going to expect some certain services from me. And,
Like expect to be left alone so she can do the dishes?
Well, yeah, that too.
Okay, look.
I'm just saying you don't stop what you're not going to...
All right, is this lady at Pier 1 now?
Well, first of all, I mean, is it bad manners? Sure.
Yeah?
It's bad. I'm not arguing it's bad manners.
It's borderline illegal.
However, but it's not. And again, she wasn't being paid. This was voluntary. So she can opt out at any time. It is bad manners to get up and... It's bad manners if you're invited over to dinner that you are not paying for... It is bad manners to get up halfway through the meal, burp, and leave.
Yes.
That's
bad
manners.
Which is exactly what she did.
However, you can do that. But if somebody's paying you to be at that fucking dinner, you sit your ass down, you choke it down, and you move the fuck on.
But in both instances, you choke it down.
What? No.
Okay, so he drops her off at the Yankee Candle. He drops her off at the Yankee Candle.
Are you looking at the names of stores that are in the mall?
Trying to move the story along.
So she's drops a JCPenney now.
Drops her off by the Chick-fil-A.
Okay, right. So to recap, this woman jumps in his cab with a baby, throws the baby
Why
in the back.
Why do we need a recap?
Because I think we got a little off track so the listeners know where we're at.
We just had a post on her page and someone said, does anyone else get lost when they start going off topic?
Yes.
See, so I'm recapping for us. She jumps in a truck, drunken woman with half a baby.
With half a baby?
No.
Which half?
She had a whole baby.
She had the whole baby. Okay, she gave half a blowjob. And then he had the decency to drive her to her.
Yeah, K Jewelers.
Wait a minute. K Jewelers. He tried to break her neck first.
Okay, that was that.
And clearly her neck was made of stainless steel because that did not happen. So anyway, so Keith drops her off after giving up his PIN number and everything else to her. So he's arrested at gunpoint in Corning, California soon after. The personal details he revealed had led police straight to him. Imagine that. He might as well have left a wallet. He was questioned at the scene and then...
Did they say anything to her about giving half the blowjob?
Because this is just... I want you to wrap your mind around this for a second. He's questioned at the scene and then uncuffed and told to go speak to a detective with the Shasta Police Department. And the son of a bitch did it.
Yeah.
He's a man of his word.
Well, he was on the honor system. See, that's what I'm talking about. Keith would have finished that blowjob.
Well, he was interrogated and claimed that her neck getting twisted was simply an accident from the cramped space of the car.
Oh, well, it could
so be. They in her car or are they in his truck? Because, you know, there's a room difference.
Yeah.
Well, it's like getting, you know, screaming, hey, you're on my hair.
He also led them to evidence that supported his version of events, including showing them an empty liquor bottle near the parking lot that he claimed was Jean's. His version was apparently more believable than Jean's, the drunken fucking baby carrier.
With no teeth.
And he was released.
Giving blowjobs. Half a blowjob.
And he was released. Despite that, a charge was filed against him for sexual assault. When he failed to appear in court,
oh,
shocking.
Yeah, surprising.
A felony warrant was issued. He was later arrested in Iowa at a weight check station after they ran his name in the National Crime Information Center database, finding the outstanding warrant in California. However, Shasta County's warrant was too weak, so the charge was reduced to a misdemeanor. Of course it was.
Probably did, because they didn't want to fool with extraditing him and all that.
After that, the cost of extradition wasn't worth it. God, you were fucking giving it, goddamn. And he was eventually...
I knew I heard that somewhere.
He was eventually exonerated of all charges, because of course he was.
Well, she probably didn't show up. She probably only showed up for half the testimony.
Carrying that baby drunk.
Yeah.
Let's see. It was a year and a half after his first kill when Keith killed again. On August 30th, 1992, the body of a woman he raped and strangled was found near Blythe, California. He later said that the Jane Doe's name was Claudia. A month later, in Turlock, California, the body of Cynthia Lynn Rose was discovered. Keith later claimed that she was a prostitute who entered his truck at a truck stop while he slept, and he strangled her to death in her sleep. There's a lot. What the fuck?
A lot of sleeping going on there.
Well, first of all,
you wake up and someone's asleep in your truck.
Well, first of all, no, wait a minute. Did she enter? He was asleep. Did she break in his truck and enter?
He woke up. There she was. He got scared.
Did she knock on the door?
I don't
and then
know,
they
but
fell asleep?
I don't think it wasn't appropriate to kill her in either way.
Oh, I feel like, yeah. I feel that was asleep.
Yeah, that was crossing another line.
Yeah.
His
apparently
victim,
doesn't have a lot of boundaries that he honors.
Well, clearly. Well, he didn't want to kill the kid, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
But it'll kill a puppy.
Huh?
But it'll kill a puppy.
Sure.
And strangle the kid's mom for not giving him a
No, he
job.
Didn't. He didn't.
Try to.
He did
He tried
try.
To break her neck.
He tried, but again, stainless steel. The fourth victim was another prostitute, Lori Ann Pentland of Salem, Oregon. Her body was found in November of that year.
You ever get a feeling, Colonel, that with all the truck drivers and hookers out there, there's a lot of fucking going on that we're being left out of?
You know, and I stop at those rest stops, and I just, they're probably banging right in front of me, and I don't even know nothing about it.
Yeah, thing.
It's a whole culture.
Yeah.
Whole truck stop culture that I don't know nothing about, but I'm going to start spending some time at some truck stops.
I've heard you already do.
Yeah, I heard that, too.
Yeah. Let's see.
I heard you look lovely, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, see? All right, so her body was found in November of that year. According to Keith, she attempted to double the fee she charged for the sex that he had engaged in with her.
Oh, well, you can't do that.
Now, see, that's another one. Halfway through the blowjob, then you're saying, now it's going to be $10 instead of $5.
It's like fucking Uber, man.
Well, but...
they get you hard.
But again, really shouldn't have killed her over it. She, however... According to him, she threatened to call the police. I don't know that you can do that.
Yeah, I don't know that. That's...
Well, yeah, you're probably... It's going to cause you more trouble than it's worth.
Well,
but, you know, it's like Uber. It's at
she'd have been better
upcharging.
Off to call the police because
Yeah, but at least Uber
her.
Tells you ahead of time they're upcharging you. She waits till she got you...
aroused.
Halfway down
no,
to her tonsils and then says...
No, he knew he was being
you like
charged.
This big boy?
He knew he was being charged. She just doubled the fee.
Yeah.
You don't double the fee halfway. Now, at least you could agree with that. If you don't double a fee halfway through the
contract
place.
Is a contract.
You start high, you go low.
Exactly.
I know.
In both instances.
But she threatened to call the police, so he killed her. He strangled her. It was more than 6 months before his next victim was found in July 1993, a Jane Doe, quote, street person in Santanella, California. Police originally considered her death a drug overdose. More than a year later, in September of 1994, another Jane Doe was found in Crestview, Florida. Keith would later claim her name was Suzanne. In January of 95, Keith agreed to take a young woman, Angela Surbrise, from Spokane, Washington to Indiana in his truck. What happened next, Charles?
Well, it starts to turn ugly.
It starts to turn ugly.
Yeah, Miss Surbrise here, she becoming a little impatient. Because
it's a long trip.
This is about a week into the trip, and she becomes a little impatient, and she begins to nag Keith to hurry up because she wants to see her boyfriend. So Keith responds, as he is wont to do.
They strangle her.
By raping her and strangling her.
There we go.
He then strapped her to the undercarriage of his truck.
He didn't just weekend at Bernie's, or that would have been so much easier.
He didn't bury her. He didn't dump her. He strapped her to the undercarriage of his truck and dragged her face down to grind off her face imprints.
Oh, my God.
God.
Yes, that is one of the more unusual ways of disposing of a body that I have ever heard of. And why the people on the road didn't see that is beyond me.
It's gross.
Because she's underneath the truck.
Oh, you know. Oh,
if she's
God.
Underneath the truck and shit's getting ground off and ain't sparks flying off, somebody gonna
sparks
ask.
Sparks are
questions.
Not gonna fly off of flesh, you ninny.
I know. That's what I'm talking
You're
about.
Gonna well, it would still leave a trail.
Yeah. How'd you like to be driving behind him? I just like you know you drive
behind. I just like point out she called you a ninny.
I should did. That was unnecessary. But you.
At least I can pronounce ninny.
You've got that quite a vocabulary there.
Really? Really? Wait a minute. You are going to talk about my vocabulary?
Oh, here we go.
How often have you heard the word ninny?
I don't care. At least you know what a ninny is. I wasn't quite sure what a Nell was. I've never knelled a board.
No.
I've never knelled a board before.
She was on Little House on the Prairie, Nellie.
Nellie. Jodie Foster played her in a movie.
Well, now, but just think about this. You're driving down the road now because I don't like to get behind trucks because sometimes a piece of gravel fly off and hit your car.
Sure.
But you get behind this son of a bitch. You got body parts, flesh, toes, toenails, whatnot coming at you.
No, just her face. I just, it's horrible. And all I can picture is just, yeah, it's bad.
I mean, how are you going to get by with that? That's what I'm asking. Are people not paying attention? Is he driving in the carpool lane?
I'm having a thought in my mind that's so off color, I'm not even going to say it. That's how off color what's going through my head is. Again, though, why didn't he just weekend at Bernie's or put her in the passenger seat and then you can drive the carpool lane?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
Her body was not found for several months.
I bet.
And only after he gave details to the police. Now, 2 months after murdering her, Keith decided that his longtime girlfriend, Julie Winningham, was only interested in him for his money.
Not for his charm.
Yeah, not for his charm. Imagine. Not for his.
And they kept losing pets.
Yeah. And on March 10th, he strangled her. She was the only victim he had a link to, which ultimately led police to his trail. He was arrested on March 30th, 1995, for the murder of his girlfriend, Julianne Winningham. He had been questioned by police a week before, but they had no grounds to arrest him after he refused to talk. And the days following, Keith decided that he was certainly going to be arrested, and after two failed suicide attempts, he was a dummy, apparently. He could kill every... How motherfucker can kill everything walking on Earth but can't kill himself? He turned himself in, hoping it would result in leniency during his sentencing. While in custody, he gave some details of other killings and making claims of many others, most of which he later recanted. Recant meaning...
Who are you telling me or him?
Just our listeners.
I think okay. They know.
Also, he is in charge of listener relations.
A few days before his arrest, he wrote a letter to his brother. And in it, he confessed to having killed 8 people over the course of 5 years. According to Keith, the police did not believe him at first and insisted they had the right people in jail for Bennett's murder.
Good Lord.
Wasn't
never
until,
good.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, let's skip over that murder, Keith. We already got that one solved. It wasn't until he insisted that he could lead them to the location of Tanya's purse and organ identification card.
That motherfucker wanted credit for her, man.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's like a batting error, you know, batter. We yeah. rule something an error, mm-hmm. and it's like, no, that was a hit. Yeah. That was a hit.
What's the instant replay?
Yeah. I want a review on that one. So, something that Laverne, who'd confessed to this, had been unable to do.
Why would you confess to a murder and go to prison for 4 years?
Maybe they were homeless yeah. and needed some.
Now they start
to
show interest in this. So Keith, he leads the detectives to these critical pieces of evidence lying in a bush near the Sandy River. How in the hell you remember where all this stuff is?
Well, and how is it still there?
Well, that was his first. That was his first murderer, though.
Yeah.
So.
How is it still there?
Yeah, I don't know.
When taken to the location where Bennett's body was found, he provided him with information about the body and its position, details that no one other than the killers and the cops would know. Based on this new information, Multnomah County District Attorney Michael Schrunk filed a motion in Marion County. Now, that don't seem right. Where the Oregon State Penitentiary is located, asking for the immediate release of Pavlinak and Sosfinowski. Schrunk told presiding Marion County Circuit Judge Paul Lipscomb that Pavlinak and Sosfinowski had served more than 4 years in prison for a crime they did not commit.
I think you just keep them in there for being stupid.
Yeah, it was immediately granted. Now, what about this son of a bitch? Two of them went to... Now, I could see one crazy ass going to jail.
Two.
But two, you know,
yeah,
this
I don't
one
think
motherfucker's got to be saying,
yeah,
no, he, no,
the
no.
The boyfriend didn't confess. The chick confessed, and she pulled him in with it. So yeah,
he's one, you know, that's why you don't date crazy women.
Yeah.
Of course, finding a sane one, it's already too late, really. By the time you find out they're crazy, it's too late.
You
got
to marry young.
But they're crazy young. I mean, we're finding that out, too.
Are we?
Yeah, I mean,
are we?
He has a lot of insight on the female species. Yeah.
You can't. It's all in the eyes. It's all. Do they got the crazy eyes?
What do my eyes say right now?
You got the crazy eyes.
No, you know who has beautiful eyes is Amber Krupp. She has beautiful eyes.
She does. She has absolutely beautiful eyes. Devil got the crazy eyes.
I don't think hers look crazy.
Look at her right now. She looked like I can feel her. It's like she's trying to burn holes through me with them.
Well, she is.
So,
I'm trying to use the force, but I can't.
Because you're on the dark side, and I am a reverend. The force is not.
Yeah.
The force will not
if
work
you
against
could only
me.
Yes, it will. The force works with everybody. What?
If it would only work, you could, like, twist his hand around.
That'd be so mad. I totally.
We'd do Facebook Live if it were.
I'm going to be, damn it.
Here's the thing. You know what? I've been watching Legion on FX or whatever, and it's an X-Men kind of thing. And so I would totally be Magneto if I could be an X-Men. I would totally be Magneto because he's a badass, clearly. But this motherfucker on Legion, dude, he does some crazy shit. He melts people into the cement.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'm saying he could move
stuff. The original
stuff.
Movie, a friend of mine wrote that.
Of course he did.
No, he did. Peter Shank.
Okay. I would totally be that guy because he's awesome. And he has the force.
If I could be anybody, I'd be the Colonel.
No, if you have to be an X-Men. So which one would you be?
Wolverine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Cuz you'd never die.
Well, you know what though?
He heals himself.
Yeah, but you know what? He can't play with titties real good. He can't play with the boobies.
His claws aren't out all the time, you ninny.
Yeah,
ninny.
That's true. But you know, he gets excited twice.
Like
he gets
that.
Excited and they pop out and then all of a sudden
no, I think
you got
he gets angry and they pop
okay.
out.
Yeah, because you better not give the Wolverine half
has,
a blowjob.
Yeah, because he
that's
has
be
sexy
bad
time.
News for you.
He has sexy time several times.
He does.
Times
yes, he does.
And nobody, you know, and he ends up
I liked
not
him,
killing
I liked
anybody.
Him in Les Miserables, the movie.
Wolverine
was not in Les Miserables.
Yeah, what's his name? Hugh Jackman?
Oh, you're talking about
Hugh
Jackson.
Jackman, yes.
Hugh Jackman, yeah.
Yes, but not Wolverine.
Not Wolverine.
Oh, I thought he played Wolverine. I'm sorry.
No.
He does.
Okay.
He would have fucked up John Paul.
Yeah. There would have been no bread and
yeah,
stuff.
He would have taken all the bread he
That's
wanted.
A stupid movie.
Killed the whole village.
John Paul.
It's a stupid yeah. movie. Was it Jean-Paul or Jean-Paul Jean? Jean-Paul Jean. Stupid yeah. name.
Okay, so let me recap here.
Jean Valjean. Jean
he
Valjean.
Takes this guy.
Jean spelled J-E-N. It's French. Jean Valjean.
That's what it sounds like. Jean yeah. Valjean.
Let me recap.
Okay.
Because we've gotten off track.
Okay.
He... okay, we got these two crazy ass people in jail for murdering the one lady, and he says, no, I did it, and he takes them, shows them all the evidence, brings them, blah, blah, blah. They take go back and release these two people from jail.
If you were Wolverine, you could get out of jail.
Oh, you could just cut through the wall.
If you're John Valjean, you have to wait 19 years to get parole.
It's because he has a stupid name. Oh.
Now, this led police agencies in several states to reopen.
He's got Inspector Javert chasing him all the time.
Stupid name.
Continue, Colonel.
And that hooker with the bad hair.
Yeah. What's her name?
Should I continue?
Yes, please.
Or would you? Okay.
We're waiting on you.
I got three motherfucking sentences to do.
Okay. Come on.
Continue, Colonel. Bring this to its climax.
This led police in
several states.
Remember the only time you've ever created a climax?
One off. Let me finish this one right. Okay, so police are opening cases where they got people in jail and shit. Although Keith at one point claimed to have had as many as 160 victims, only 8 women killed in California, Florida, Nebraska, Oregon, Washington, and Wyoming have been confirmed. Keith is currently serving 3 life sentences in the Oregon State Penitentiary in Salem.
Wonder why he didn't get the chair. If I'd done better,
they might not have the chair.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if Oregon does. Maybe. Oregon does.
Maybe not. All right.
They
so
should. They got a bunch of shitload of serial killers up there.
Brandy, up there. Your final thoughts on Keith Jefferson, the happy face killer.
He is a dick. But again, you don't know. Did the surroundings make him this way, or was he this way, and then the
nurture.
Surroundings? Yeah.
Yeah. Colonel, your final thoughts on?
Oh, I think he was just a douchebag. He's just one of those.
What would you do,
a douche magoo?
How would you administer Colonel Justice on him?
Well, I think the electric shock was good. I would attach some electrodes to his testicles for a while until they literally disappeared.
Until
they vaporized.
Apparently his dad already tried that.
Then I'd attach him to his nipples.
You might like that, too.
Then I'd take him out to a
This sounds like Chuck's Saturday Night is what it sounds like.
Sounds like his wish list.
Right.
I'd take him out and nail him to a board.
Yeah, yeah.
And stick
wish
him
list.
With a bunch of pins like he did to the little crow. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he's, you know, just so he
Would
knew.
You nail him to the board?
Oh, I'd turn
This is a lot of work he's getting into right now, though.
No, you got to I got a compressor
you're
and a
shoot
nail
him
gun.
You going to shoot him in the penis?
No, but I'll tell you, my goddamn brother shot me in the back of the calf with a nail gun one time.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and this
Did he ever shoot you in the genitals with a BB gun?
He shot me. You
so
know
one
those,
doesn't have anything to do with
do you
the
know
other.
Those Crossman things?
Uh-huh.
He pumped one of those some bitches out 50 times, I bet. Put one of the lead pellets in it, not a BB.
Did you get a nasty infection?
He shot me right in the stomach with it. Went in right here at my belly button, moved up about 6 inches. My mama had to cut it out. It was an ugly wound. I still got the scar. I'll show
nope.
you the scar. You want to see it?
So your
I'll
mom you performed surgery on you?
And beat him like a... She beat
like
him
a
like
mule.
A rent
well, I mean, look, if one of your kids make you have to perform surgery on another of your child, you know, you
well,
have to
Well, it just
you
went in
lesson.
Underneath the skin. And back then, you know, we didn't go to a hospital or nothing,
oh, no,
you
I'm
know.
Sure what Neither am I, Sarah. Neither am I.
So my mom just got a razor blade and plucked it out with a pair of tweezers and put some Mercurochrome on it.
I want it noted that was Timmy's phone, and had
yeah.
that been our phone,
oh, that'd be hell to pay. Yeah.
Oh, there'd be
We'd
hell
be
to pay.
Threatening.
Well, he'd
what?
Already paused this.
It's possibly that there might not ever be another podcast episode if that wouldn't have been one of our phones.
Well, sure. He'd have gotten
I've pissed. Had enough. If you guys are lucky with it, I'm going to Columbia. I'm not going to.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Charles, what do you think of this douchebag?
He already said we're ready for shout-outs now.
I'm done with his ass.
All right.
Done with his ass.
Shout-outs, Colonel.
Shout-outs. All right. Let's see.
He has a new shout-out list. He is the liaison for customer or listener relations. Our listener relations officer.
I hope he's better at that job than his real job.
He's our LRO.
Let's see. I want to first give a shout out to Norma DiMaggio.
She got a new job.
She did. Yay.
Congratulations.
She got a new job, so we hope you're doing well.
And we got a new photo of Elise's baby.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, the
she
3D
got a
full, one.
She
How
got a
cool
3D
is that?
Thing.
Yeah,
yeah
that
I got
very
that
cool.
done.
So cute. So cute.
That is, yes.
I got that done. They all, but I don't know. Noah looked weird.
Well, he's a cute
he
kid now.
Squished.
Doesn't matter. So he turned out good.
Well, it's squishy in there.
Well,
anyway,
yeah.
So
it's
they
not
all
like
look,
it's... I know. You know, it doesn't like he's it's like an auditorium or anything. It's closed quarters.
I got that.
All right.
I got that. Believe me.
Just saying.
I got it.
All right, Colonel. Shout out.
Okay, let me give us. Let's start. We always start with Tasha and Ophelia.
Yes. Lovely California.
Tasha, yeah. Sam Hildebrand, Linda Middleton, Missy Dean Horton, Britton Chris, Celine, Catherine Richardson, Teresa Slavin, the lovely Shonda, and the scary Larry.
The beautiful Shonda.
The beautiful Chanda. Shonda and scary Larry. Lisa and Clark Trowbridge and Diane Trowbridge and Colton, of course. Aaron Wentz, Donna Curran, Olivia Meyer, Katja, Kate with a K. I still got you down here with a K, Kate. Denny Mack and Byron Snellings. William Truax. It is with a C, but I put it on here just to spite the woman because she bossy.
She's graduating this weekend.
I know. Kate is graduating this weekend.
Congratulations, Kate.
Yes.
Amber Anderson and I got to give a shout out to my little nephew Lucas, who's going to be turning two this Saturday. I'll be at his birthday party. So Gina Spillane, Trixie, of course, Sydney and Michael. Michael, good luck with your background check.
We're all holding our breath.
Yeah, I'm glad it ain't me. Donna Hellman, Laura O'Reilly, Gabby Lewis, Allison Moon Bond.
Gene Bond.
Dave Lampier, Maggie, Nobel, Poet Laureate for the Dweebs. Christine.
Bourgeois.
And Katie, who did a public speaking yesterday, and I'm sure it was excellent, Katie Moorhead.
I hope she has more supportive people around her than I do.
Whatever.
What are you talking about?
Continue. About her public speaking. I hope that she has people around her who are supportive.
We're supportive of you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Continue.
Mary Ray, Andy Valley, me and Devil love when you public speak.
Uh-huh. Continue.
We do.
People looking around like, what the fuck is he saying? Because they come to us and say, what did he just say?
You know what Tim needs? Remember how Obama used to have that
anger translator? Yeah.
That's what Timmy needs.
Timmy needs Appalachian translator.
He does.
But, you know, I know it real well because it's very similar to my stepdad's. It's a North Carolina-Tennessee hybrid mix.
And no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. My dad says the same thing. Will, the hill, you don't know if he's talking about what's on the bottom of your shoe or something you run up. So Keith Frosty, Becky Mitchell, Vicki Ann Wallace, Nick and Molly, of course, Neil Eagleton, Tracy Busby, Allie, Little Allie Nett. I bought her in the auction, got to talk to her the other night, PM'd her. She's a very interesting young lady.
Yeah, she's a beautiful young lady.
She is. She's very smart, very interesting. So TJ, of course, Robin Sanchez, Carlene Madison, Aaron Fowler.
I just want to say, TJ, he's having a rough week, and we just want to think we're thinking of you, TJ.
We are, but TJ posted the thing about the guy getting busted for sexually abusing a chicken, so I want to thank him for that.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Kind of makes my
day.
That
was great. But
you can't fuck the chicken, but you can turn it into chicken nuggets. That's okay.
TJ's our buddy, and we love having him on the page.
Anna Girl Lion, who I shouldn't even give a shout-out to because she betrayed me. Jody Wells. Let's see. Helene, Joey King, Lindsay Ng, Trish Lawton, Stephanie LeVarin, Zach Fish, I think I got. Let's see who we got. Rebecca Montanle, Nancy Jalapeno Papa, Jennifer Hawkins, Tara Chinchilla, Chicago Lindsay McMillan, getting ready for that Iron Man she about to do.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I know. We are such pieces of shit.
Now we get down here to the Colonel crew, Angie Paul, lovely Nicola and Allie, and Charlie, my three counselors, Sarah Bloom, of course, Jim Burdock, Karen, lovely Karen Barnes, beautiful Karen, Janet Fitzgerald, Francis Darton, Jess Williams, out in Chicago. She probably hates being called Jess, but I like the name Jess. Amanda Bocce Ball. Shannon, Tiffany, Monica D'Agostino, Angela Cobes, Radhika Smith, beautiful little Fallon, our mascot, Liz Keating, Jen Wicks, another admin, Rachel Marie Flynn, who is doing much better, and we are We're going to be doing some Facebook Live stuff with her probably if she has a surgery. So, Jennifer, Donna Hellman, Maja, beautiful Maja from Poland, Jamie Tarantino, the beautiful and talented, MJ Howard, who's our hospice nurse. We got Clark Trowbridge, Jessica Barnett, and Amber Krupp, Danielle Fredrickson, M. Waterfall, Susan Angles, John Gray, Kirstie Ramsden, of course, Erica Clemens, Cheryl Causey, some new listeners here, Timmy, Denise Palmer, Jasmine Chapin Whitney, and Shelley Garrett. We'd like to give a shout out to them. And that is my three columns. So the next one we do, we will be doing three more columns. So if we didn't get you today, we will get you the next time.
Okay. We want to give a shout out to my mom.
No, that's my three columns.
Okay. All right.
Now we're getting into the lovely happy birthday to you, Lady Beverly. I will send you a picture with balloons and stuff and a cake and wine and champagne and a boat. And a Corvette.
And I want to say something.
Quiet, woman.
So people know. Shut up. So people know. We had a listener that was going to China to pick up a little girl.
Oh, Amber, yes.
And Amber. And she got her. They have her.
Awesome. Congratulations.
And evidently she is just full of fire. So we're very, very excited and happy to welcome. Is it Anna Rose? I don't remember. I can't. And I can't
Elisa
look it up
Rose,
fast
maybe?
Enough. Yeah. But we'll anyway, we want to welcome whatever her name is. She's gorgeous, and I love her. And we want to welcome her to our little twisted family.
Yeah. So, I forgot to grab Trisha Krim. Trisha Cream
Krenwinkle.
Puff. Cream Puff. Mm-hmm. Krimposky. Bagpipe player. And a policeman.
Yes.
Interesting. And Susan Capitano, because I skipped them before. And the lovely Lady Beverly, hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful birthday. And finally, last but first in all of our hearts, the lovely Miss Dottie. Miss Dottie Scott, could you get off your phone and say hello to your mother, Timmy?
Yeah, I'll see her tonight.
Quit sexting while you're saying hello to your mother.
No, I will see her tonight. Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, join our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast. Or you can follow us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1. You can follow Brandy at Brandy Vennay. That's Brandy, V-E-N-N-A.
Uh-huh,
right?
On Twitter.
On Twitter. And you can follow the Colonel at HawkWaters. And you can find us on iTunes. Please leave us a review. We appreciate all your kind reviews. All you guys have been so awesome. And that's all for now. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.